Amen. Hallelujah. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today, well, today is the last Sunday of the church year. Next week we start Advent. And fittingly, this is the Matthew text where Jesus, it's like the last thing that Jesus says publicly in the book of Matthew. He's spent all week preaching to the crowds in Jerusalem, and he's been talking about the last days and what's, and he talks about the final judgment. Final judgment. And he talks about this example of, he gives it in parable form, of the shepherd coming, and the king comes, the Son of Man comes and separates the sheep from the goats. And it's not you guys and you guys. But, so don't get worried over here. But it's actually kind of a difficult text to preach on because you start thinking, well, after this month of Reformation where I've been preaching and you guys have been hearing about you were saved by grace alone through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. And then we get this text and it sounds like, oh, we're back to works righteousness again. If you don't feed the poor, if you don't clothe those who don't have any clothing, if you don't visit the sick, if you don't visit those in prison, you're with the goats. That's what it sounds like, doesn't it? If this were all that you had heard of Jesus' teaching, boy, it kind of sounds like works righteousness. That's what's going to save you. But it's not. It's not all that we have of Jesus' teaching. So how do we reconcile the two? Well, I think the solution for us is to look at why. Why does Jesus separate these into the goats and these into the sheep? Standard is not human performance. The standard is not, have you fed enough people? Have you clothed the right people? Have you gone to visit those who are in prison and sick? God wants you to do that. I mean, that's the point of what Jesus is saying here, yes. God expects his people, those whom he has counted as elect, those who he has selected from before. Did you hear that? From before the foundations of the earth, he has selected you. And he wants you to go and do that. He expects that of you, Christians. He expects that of you, sheep. But you do it because of what God's done for you. Because you have been elected, you do that. Even if you don't know it. Standard is not human performance. Now, our natural inclination is to think that on Judgment Day, this is very natural. We think God is going to judge those who are good on one hand and those who are not so good or evil. And we all know who they are. On the other hand, the sheep and the goats. And most of us start to think that, well, where am I going to stand on Judgment Day? Well, I've been better than some, maybe better than most. I'm at least better than those guys. At least I'm not a serial killer like that late Charles Manson, who died last week. We all think we know he's going to stand, don't we? Or we might say to ourselves, well, I'm not like those adulterers. Like, let's see, pick your Hollywood star or politician du jour. At least I'm not one of them. We like to think Jesus is going to grade on a curve. And we know where we stand on that curve, right? At least better than so-and-so. And then we think sometimes, well, the Lord's going to give me a break because of my circumstances. I had good intentions, but well, there were things I left undone. Those deeds left undone. Or those things that I did. Lord, well, you know, those temptations that I faced. Man, I faced the worst temptations. You know, they all seem to come to me. Here's another one. I like to believe in a loving God. Only a loving God. We're all sheep. There aren't going to be any goats. Well, that's clearly not Jesus' teaching today. But no, God's not going to grade on a curve. The criterion of judgment is not the actions of the sheep or of the goats. That's not how God is going to determine who's a sheep and a goat. Jesus says the distinction was made from the foundations of the earth. How can that be then that your actions is what you're going to be judged on, whether you're going to be living or dead? You will be judged on your actions, but that's not how you're saved. So how do we reconcile this text? The point of the text is clear enough. Go, sheep, go. And act like my sheep. Act like my elect. Go feed the poor. Go clothe those who have no clothing. Go visit the sick. Go visit those who are in prison. Did you do that today yet, before you came here? Or is that why you're confessing your sins? Well, that's a tough question, Pastor. Last week I was at this conference in New Orleans, the Lutheran Church Extension Fund Leadership Conference. And they had a lineup of fantastic speakers, one of which was Herman Cain, you know, the guy who ran for president. Was it last time or two times ago? Anyway, the guy who ran for president, wonderful speaker, okay? And he was talking about loving boldly. The theme of the conference was loving boldly, 1 Corinthians 13:13. How do you love boldly? And he was talking about this text, actually. He was saying there was this time, says Herman Cain, and I was going out with some friends of mine, and we were all going to get in the limo. I mean, he's a guy who drives around in a limo, right? Or rides in a limo. We were going with my friends. We were going out to dinner or someplace. And this man came up to me begging. And I didn't have time for him. I wanted to go out with my friends. You know, I would like to deal with this later. So they left. And he started thinking, what if that was Jesus? Have I just turned my back on Jesus? Thinking about this text, I was hungry and you did not feed me. You turned your back on me. And he's thinking, am I going to be with the goats then? So he told his driver, his limo driver, to turn around and go back. They found the guy. He gave him some money or whatever. And I was thinking about this same text. And the same kind of thing crossed my mind a couple of weeks ago. About 3 weeks ago, I went to call on somebody at the hospital in Buffalo General downtown. You know how it sometimes gets windy downtown and cold and windy, you know, on some days. And, well, there was a guy standing outside the hospital asking every passerby for some money or something to eat. He said, "Can you help me get something to eat?" So I'm going in to make this call, and I'm thinking, okay, what I'll do is I'll go in and make my call, then I'll get some lunch for him at Tim Hortons. You know, they have this cafe there at Buffalo General, and I'll bring it out to him because I thought, well, I don't know if I should give him money, but and I'll bring it out to him and give it to him after my call. So I go and I place my call. I make my call. Somebody there, and I stop at Tim Hortons and I buy a nice little kind of warm lunch for him, and I walk outside. He's not there. He's not there. So it occurs to me, was that Jesus I just ignored? Or, well, didn't ignore. I had the greatest of intentions, right? But that those intentions really didn't help my neighbor. And I started thinking, well, you know, why is that? Look, I had the greatest of intentions, but it wasn't convenient for me to do it right at that point in time. It wasn't convenient for me to do it, to help him. I mean, why? It would have been inconvenient for me to go into Tim Hortons first, or even better, to take him into it where it was warm. You know, duh. it was inconvenient for me. And then I started thinking, well, how convenient was it for Jesus to go to the cross for me on that Good Friday? Did he say, oh yeah, I've got time on Good Friday to go to the cross? Sometimes doing the right thing isn't convenient. And I think sometimes the Lord doesn't want it to be convenient for us to help out our neighbor. So here's the thing. Here's how you reconcile Jesus' teaching here about doing the right thing, about helping your neighbor, loving your neighbor. This text is about loving your neighbor. Do that. It's not going to earn you salvation. Christ has already done that for you. I want you to look at the cross. Look at the top of the cross. Jesus came down into our world. He descended to become a human being like all of us dirty, rotten people who fail to do the right thing all the time. Maybe this past week, Thanksgiving, somebody's house that you went to, or at your house, maybe you were a little impatient with somebody. Maybe you said something you wish you hadn't said, something that you could take back if you would take back if you could. Something that maybe hurt someone, even unintentionally. Maybe something that just didn't show respect for another human being who Jesus died for. Jesus came into that world of us to redeem us. That's what he did. He descended to us to go to that cross, that inconvenient cross, for you and me. And all he says, righteous, is Trust in that. Believe in that. Believe in your Savior. Know who you are, that you are one redeemed by Christ the crucified. And you are saved. And you will be a sheep on that judgment day. Live in that. And oh, by the way, as you live in that, as you trust in that, you will do righteous things. Look at the cross again. You see the part that goes across? That's your righteousness. As you love your neighbor. And you redeemed by Christ the crucified, you too are doing and will do righteous things in your life, made righteous by the blood of Christ. It's horizontal righteousness. The righteousness that God gives you is yours, given to you. All you have to do is believe in it. By grace alone, through faith alone. The righteousness that you actively do as one who is redeemed by Christ the crucified, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ on judgment day will point to you and say, you did this for me. For me. And you'll say, when? When? All I remember is the time I walked past that guy at Buffalo General. Fit it in your life. The Lord Jesus Christ, on that day, will say, I forgave that there for you. But here's a time you didn't even know it, where you're sharing my blessing, my grace, my forgiveness, my encouragement, a little help to your neighbor. And fervent love for God and one another through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.